Sandra Pineville, with how you look in the mirror, with who you are when no one is around, with your level of peace and happiness. I want to talk to the real ones in here who are just simply dissatisfied. The fact of the matter is, someone in here today doing this morning worships, you can say, Reverend Sands, I'm burnt out on how life is. Can I hurry and suggest to you, when you are dealing with dissatisfaction, everyone in your circle, on your speed dial, on your Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, won't understand and will think that you're changing. They'll think you're acting funny. They'll think you're being flaky and don't want to be bothered. The fact really is, you have reached a level of dissatisfaction. Everybody I know, I've learned with where you are, which pushes you to be desperate for more. In other words, you find yourself spinning your wheels until you can't spin them no more, and you lift your hands and say, Lord, I need a change in my life. Is there anybody here can lift your hands and say, Lord, at some point in my life, I need you to just change me. Change the way I walk. Change the way I talk. Change the way I think, because I'm dissatisfied with where I am. Excuse me if I sound a bit arrogant this morning, but LeCount, Cheneyville, Jonesville, Gina is not seeing the world. I'm trying to see the Bahamas. I'm trying to go to Jamaica. I'm trying to go to Lily Beach in Australia. I'm trying to hang around some folk that can get me to the place where God is trying to take me. And I know I'm not the only one up in here. I've had some friends I've been connected to that I had to let go. I've had some family members in my life I had to let go. I had some co-workers. I had some folk in my life I had to let go, because God was trying to take me one way and they were going in another way. Is there anybody here can lift your hands and say, God, I need a change? Listen, I don't mean to sound arrogant, but Paragon and Gina Chowtai is okay for now, but let me see what Windstar World Casino is about. Y'all acting mighty strange. I know y'all Baptists folk up in here. Listen, you have got to change your mindset if you're going to move forward in your life. You ought to look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, change your mindset. In other words, some of us in this room today have moved from waiting a change to a place of desperation, and you're saying, God, I just don't want a change. I need a change. And I wonder, is there anybody other than me that can testify that I'm tired of the same old thing? I'm tired of hearing the same old broken record. I'm tired of the same old broken promises. I'm tired of hearing the same old lies. I need a change. God, I need a change in my employment. I need a change in my relationship. My money's funny, change is strange. I need a change in my bank account. I need a change in my mind, my health, my business, my body, my spirit. God, I need you to search me on the inside, and if you find anything that should not be, I want you to take it out, because I am desperate for a change. I came to preach only to those that are desperate for a change. Can I say, when you reach a place of desperation, nobody or nothing will be able to get in your way and stop you from getting what you need to bring a change in your life. I came to preach to those of you that know what it's like to be mocked, what it knows how it feels to be laughed and talked about when you take on the attitude of desperation. They get behind your back and say that you're thirsty. But what they don't understand is the Bible says that he that hunger and thirsty shall be filled. You ought to tell somebody close to you, Don't mistake my desperation for weakness. That's the wrong neighbor. That neighbor should have shouted out their shoes. You ought to shake your neighbor's hand like you ought to shake it off and say, neighbor, don't you get confused and mistake my desperation for weakness. Because it's desperate folk that get the house. It's desperate folk that ride good. It's desperate folk that open the new business. It's the desperate folk that get the degree. Excuse me if I'm desperate. I'm just waiting on God to give me every dream, every hope, every ambition, answer every prayer that I've been praying. Is there anybody here that lift your hands and say, I'm a holler unto the Lord is my cry.
Listen, listen, listen. This is why when we're making decision to change, we can't limit change to one certain area in our lives. Well, Pastor Sands, I believe in taking it one problem at a time. That's a smart thing to do. However, the problem we run into is once change has been made in a certain area of our lives, we believe we can make it from there. I need you to understand, ladies and gentlemen, today that half of a thing is not, nor will it ever be, as good as a whole of a thing. You remember the song that said, Lord, I'm running, trying to make 100 because 99 and a half won't do. In other words, God don't want to hear half of your mind. He want to hear your whole mind. God don't want to hear half of your heart. He want to hear your whole heart. That's because God, anything down God touches, he does a complete work. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, this man in our text, blind Bartimaeus, he was desperate for total change. Because not only was he blind, but watch this, he was also a beggar. It's right there in your text if you hadn't torn it out. Number one, he's blind, J.F. And number two, he's a beggar. He can't see and he's broke. So here it is. God says, listen, I just don't want to hear your eyesight, but I'm going to put a little money in your pocket. The Bible says in verse number 46 that this story took place in Jericho. In other words, according to Greek historians, the word Jericho means place of fragrance. So it is, ladies and gentlemen, today I want you to understand that this man is blind and he's broke, but yet he is in Jericho, the place of fragrance. Jericho was a fenced city in the midst of a vast grove of palm trees. And the plain of Jordan, in the plain of Jordan over Jericho, against the place where the river was crossed by the Israelites. It was the most important city in the Jordan Valley and the strongest fortress in all of the land of Canaan. If there was a place to be a beggar, it would not be in Jericho. That's like being a beggar in this land of opportunity. That's like living in Tennyson Oaks, but yet you driving a Pinto. That's like living in an old rundown apartment with an address that ends with Highland Park. There are some of you in this room that can understand the desperation of this blind beggar. It's like working for a company you work for, but making the kind of money you make. It's like working all of the years you've been working, but if truth is told, you don't have anything to show for it. It's like being with the person you're with all of those years, and yet the relationship is not where it's supposed to be. This man in our text is in the wrong place to be a beggar. This man was a beggar in Jericho. But don't look down on this man. Don't look down on this beggar, because this blind beggar is about to show us how to get the change we need to make change happen in our lives. The Bible says in the 46th and 47th verse that there was a great multitude, great number of people walking by, but when this blind beggar heard that Jesus was in the crowd, he began to speak. Out of all the people that were in that crowd, there was only one that had what Bartimaeus needed. Oftentimes, I've discovered, ladies and gentlemen, we surround ourselves with so many people not really knowing that our needs can only be met by the Lord Jesus. In other words, it's not about the crowd, it's about Christ. Y'all acting mighty strange up in here. The crowd can get you one thing, but Christ can get you all things. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't get too consumed by the crowd. Surround ourselves with a crowd simply because we're lonely. We don't know ourselves. And truth be told, we really don't love ourselves. We surround ourselves with a crowd. But I need you to understand that knowing a crowd is nice. But make sure you know Christ while you're in the crowd. When the crowd gets thin, and it will get thin, Christ will always be there. In times of lonely, God is saying, I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And here's a good shout cue for somebody here. I might be lonely, but I'm never alone. Is there anybody here can lift your hands and say, I might get lonely sometimes, but I'm never alone? I wish I had 10 folk up in here and I'll make number 11. Who wouldn't mind lifting your hands and holding your head back and say, I get lonely sometimes, but I'll never be alone, because he walks with me, he talks with me, he tells me I am his own. He's in my front, he's in my back, he's on my right, he's on my left, over me, under me, inside. I might be lonely sometimes, but I'm never alone. The Bible says in 47th verse that when Bartimaeus heard that Jesus of Nazareth was in the crowd, he began to cry out. In other words, Bartimaeus was moved to cry out because of what he heard. We are taught that when one of your senses is not functional, the others are stronger. Bartimaeus was blind, but he was not deaf. Deaf. His senses of sight was not functional, causing his hearing to operate at a much stronger level than that of a person with full functions of all five senses. The Bible says that Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus. Question I asked in this text was, how did Bartimaeus know it was Jesus? The crowd could have given away. Everyone knew that Jesus was always followed by a great crowd. Jesus' name could have been given away in that crowd. I'm sure that there were people constantly saying the name of Jesus. However, the 46th verse says that Bartimaeus was a beggar. In the book of Acts, it tells us of a lame man that was laid daily at the beautiful gate. The Bible says that this man was also a beggar. The difference between the beggar in Acts and the beggar here in Mark is Acts says that the lame beggar asks for silver and gold. But Mark says that this blind beggar was just begging. If you notice how Mark writes, he's very explicit and he details every aspect of this story. Why didn't Mark just say what the blind beggar was asking for? If you look at verse 47, it reveals what the beggar was asking for. The Bible says that when he heard that it was Jesus, he asked for more mercy. Oh, God, have mercy. Listen, the beggar in Acts asks for silver and gold. But the beggar in Mark asks for mercy. I'm a saint, preach up here. Listen, the Acts beggar says, I want silver and gold. But the beggar in Mark says, I don't want silver and gold, I just want mercy. Is there anybody here can say, Lord, just give me more mercy? My money's funny, my change is strange, that's all good, just give me more mercy. My mind is perplexed, I don't know which way I'm going, I don't need money, I need mercy. Is there anybody here can lift your hands and say, if God give you more mercy, he'll give you everything along with the mercy? Y'all ain't got nobody in front of you up in here. You ought to just look your neighbor in the face and say, neighbor, next time you talk to God, don't ask God for money, ask God for mercy. Because when you have goodness and mercy, you'll have blessings for the rest of your life. God, give me more mercy. Listen, listen, listen. When the beggar says, Lord, give me more mercy, the blind beggar was now closer to his breakthrough than he had ever been in his life. Bible says that they say to him, when he calls Jesus, have mercy on me. Bible says those who are around Jesus, they say, shut up. Be quiet. Hold up, wait a minute here. You've been rolling with Jesus. You've been hanging with Jesus. And now Jesus has come to where I am. And you've got the audacity to tell me to shut up. Listen, Rosa Sharon, you watch the very ones that tell you it don't take all that. Watch those that say, every time I come to church, they running around shouting. Watch the ones that say, every time I turn around, they up there for prayer. Watch those folk. And I tell folk all the time, don't worry about my praise and my worship, because you don't know what I've been through. You don't know the hell I've gone through. You don't know the sleepless nights I've endured. You don't know the tears I've cried. So excuse me if I lift my hands and hold my head back and tell, excuse me if I run around like a wild animal. Excuse me if I jump a little high, because you don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. Songwriter said, you can't tell it. Let me tell it. What the Lord has done. Listen, listen, listen. He says, wait, wait a minute, wait a minute. I know y'all walking around here like y'all Jesus' baby cousin, like y'all, you know. I know y'all walking around here, you know, because you're Jesus' disciples. But number one, I wasn't talking to you in the first place. Listen, 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 listen. Baltimore said, hold up, wait a minute. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking the one you've been walking with. They say, hush. Then he says, hold up, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I tell folk all the time, ladies and gentlemen, don't come for me. Because if you come for me, I know how to get you back. Couldn't be me in the crowd. Because soon as they said, Thomas, shut up. Am I talking to any real Baptist folk up in here? I would have talked as loud as I could. He says, listen, I'm not talking to you in the first place. Who can I preach to when I tell you don't miss the shift? The Lord will always let you know when it's time for a shift. When you are closer to the Lord than what you were, it's time for a shift. I came to speak into this house today and tell you that God is saying that it's time for a shift, Rosa Shell. You are closer now than you've ever been before. It's time for a shift. You're moving from hurting to healing, from pain to power, from your past to your promise, from gloom to gladness, from fear to faith, from problem to peace, from situation to celebration. God said it's time for your shift. And the blind beggar called out to Jesus. He didn't call him like a stranger. He called him like a friend. Verse 46 says that it was Jesus of Nazareth. That refers to where he's from. The beggar called him Jesus, the son of David. That refers to who he is. Here's the lesson. It's all right to know where he's from, but it's better to know who he is. There anybody here can say, I know who Jesus is. The Bible says in the 48th verse that many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more. In the Greek, the word charge means rebuke. And the word peace means to be silent. But this man says, it doesn't matter what you tell me. He says, Jesus, thou son of David. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad that I know the Lord's name. Is there anybody in Rosa Sharon can lift your hands and say, yes, I know the Lord's name. And I've done, yes, when I tell you this, Rosa Sharon, God, yes, Jesus stands up and he says, sir, I want you to come to me. Just have a question for you. Jesus says, what do you want? He says, Lord, I want to see again. Jesus says, listen, because you believe, yes, I'm going to make you whole again. Yes, Bartimaeus got exactly what he needed because he knew the right name. And I can close this message here this morning by ending it like this. Do you know the name? The name that every knee shall bow. Look at them with power and say, name, neighbor.
one Friday on the hill called Calvary, died for my sins. That name, yes, was hung high. That name was stretched wide. That name was dropped low. Anybody here know he died? You ought to say yes. He died, took him down, laid him in a borrowed tomb. But early Sunday morning, got up out of the grave and said, all power is in my hand. Ain't he all right? You ought to help me close here now. You ought to grab your neighbor's hand. Oh, shut y'all can wash them after church. Hold their hand like you've been born again. Hold their hand like God has been good to you. Hold their hand like God has made a way for you. And say, neighbor, be not dismayed. Whatever be tied to you, God will. Won't he take care? Won't he take care? He'll come down from the sky, wipe the tears from your eyes. I'm his child. He cares for me. Ain't he all right? Ain't he all right? You ought to put your hand on your hip, let your backbone slip, and say, yes, can't nobody do me like Jesus.
You've been listening to the First New Light Baptist Church with Senior Pastor Thomas D. Sands. The service time is at 9 a.m. Like us on Facebook at First New Light Missionary Baptist Church - Pineville.
KAYT, Shreveport Greenwood, 92.5.
Good morning. It's time now for Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast with Reverend Joseph Martin. The church is located 6436 Old Baton Rouge Highway, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302. You can phone 318-445-4875. And now, here is Second Union Baptist Church radio broadcast already in progress.
Praise God. We it's for every born again believer. And I must say that it will be hard for any believer to reach the goal of perfection if he or she only comes to church, praise God, every blue moon. I got to go there. You can't reach this perfection, praise God, if you never read or meditate on God's word at any time. You'll never reach this spiritual perfection, praise God, if you don't ever pray or communicate with your God. Amen. You see, if we are going to be champions in our Christian walk, praise God, we will have to set the goal, praise God, of perfection before our eyes and continue to strive, praise God, to grow in our walk with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ so that we can fulfill the purpose for which he has for us in our life. After all, he uses some word. Regardless, in other words, it's based upon what translation of the Bible that you look at. He said that he uses a phrase that says he took hold of us. Amen. The word the King James uses is the word apprehended. See, the word apprehended means that he took hold of us, that we should what? That we should live for him and that we should serve him in